Like I'll never not enjoy those memories.
Did not look alike at all.
Like, not at all. Oh yeah, you
definitely
watched it.
Tell.
Oh, you
watched it the other day too.
Little fat guy out there. Like, you watch it now.
One's hella skinny.
Like, they don't. You again. 44-year-old versus 70, they don't look the same.
Where was my mom at? Like, where was my stepdad? Why couldn't he tell me? Like, yo, this is not the same guy.
No, they're clearly, I mean, they're clearly brothers. They, you know, if Earl had gotten a little chunkier, they'd clearly be twins. But like, yeah, they look very different. Doesn't it? But it's about the feeling.
Yeah.
Like, when I watched that as a kid, I'll never forget it. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget. When Randy turned on Hogan the following year, my opinion on that has always changed. Hogan was trash. Hogan was absolutely touching Elizabeth's ass in some of these videos. Like, hey, come on,
what's
man?
Wrong with this guy?
I would have beaten Hogan's ass too. But it's not enjoying the Mega Powers explode as a 44-year-old. It's enjoying watching that storyline as an 8-year-old and remembering those feelings and all of that.
That
and
was sensational.
It took me like a whole day of explaining this stuff to Katie to realize, like, I'll always enjoy that character.
Yeah.
I'll never not love that character and the comfort that he brought me as a kid when it was just, you know, me and my mom and my sister, and my mom was off working. Like, I'll never not appreciate that. I'll never not appreciate my interactions with him. Like, the first time I met him, he knew what he was doing. He was pushing Brooke's career. And so he walked into a room at the Radio Music Awards in Las Vegas where Run-DMC was in there. The Prince Market E was hosting a show in Miami, one of the Fat Boys. Dougie Fresh was in there. Big Boy's Neighborhood in there. You had big names. You had big names in the world of hip hop. You had big names in the world of entertainment, all in there. I was talking to your boy, your favorite, Mario Lopez, when Hogan walks in the room and Mario stops dead in his conversation.
Not my boy, by the way. He's being facetious.
And says, yo, there's Hulk Hogan. In a room full of guys who were stars on their own level, all stopped because Hulk Hogan had walked in the room with Brooke, who was 16 at the time. She'll get your attention, but she was 16 at the time. And Hogan treated anyone who he sensed was a Hulkamaniac, he treated as such. And I'll never forget that. It doesn't excuse what he did. It doesn't excuse his decisions later in life, but to me, the person sitting across from me in Las Vegas was Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Terry. Mm-hmm. If I played the interview for you right now, you'd know immediately that was that was the night we were supposed to go to the strip club. That was Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
It wasn't whoever that guy was, you know, in the later years of
his career. And Hulk Hogan was an absolute star. Like, there are people who just have it. That's the other thing that, like, when Bumani was trying to figure out why he was so popular, he had it. He knew how
he
to
had a connection with the crowd.
Exactly. Yeah. And how to connect with, and then also,
and he had it his entire career.
Yeah.
Like, he had it as a good guy. He had it as a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Hollywood Hogan was on the cover of TV Guide.
Mm-hmm.
For those who can remember what TV Guide is, Hogan's been on the cover of it multiple times. And
he had the star quality that cannot be taught. Mm-hmm. It is 100% organic. It's 100% natural. And he had it.
Steve Austin is a wrestler. Stone Cold Steve Austin's a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most popular ones we've ever had. Hulk Hogan's a superstar. And there aren't very many professional wrestlers who are legitimate superstars.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan is one. The funny thing, the closest guy to Hogan might actually be Randy Savage.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
Like, we could talk about Rock and all of these other guys. It might be Macho Man.
Randy naturally had that too.
Mm-hmm.
He naturally had that. I respect your wrestling opinion. So I would have to ask you, that match, like when I say it's top three, maybe the greatest, is that jumping out the window a little bit?
Not at all. Like it, but it, like everyone's, it's wrestling is like music. Everyone's criteria is different. We have very different tastes in music. You want to club to music, want to dance to music. You want to play it loud in the car. Sometimes I like story to my music. It's the Drake. It's very literally the Drake Kendrick thing. There's a Drake version of wrestling and there's a Kendrick version of wrestling, and both are great. It's just what appeals to you. My favorite match, what I think is the greatest match of all time, blends both, and that's 25. That's Taker and Shawn, because it blends the two aspects together. It blends the storytelling with the hit making. But if you put Rock Austin in there, yeah. I mean, excuse me, Rock Hogan in there, yeah, absolutely. Mm. You like, I would never fight anyone who says that's a top. Jesse has said since the beginning of his show of this show that that's his favorite match of all time. Mm. Like we always talk about those Austin pops and those that night Mankind won the title, mm-hmm. and Austin came out of nowhere, and there's that wide shot of the crowd, and that arena just erupts. Okay, it's great. It's incredible. It's the measure in which crowd reactions are used. Mm-hmm. Take that and multiply it by three. Man. And that's what you had at 18. And again, it's different. Yeah. It's a different take. There's absolutely nothing wrong with saying that that's a top 2, 3, 4, 5 match of all time.
Related, somewhat related. Did any of you guys watch? Oh, just not even here. Did you watch SummerSlam at all?
SummerSlam happened? No, I think SummerSlam's this weekend.
Is it this weekend?
Yeah, I don't think it happened. Did it? No, it didn't happen. It happens this weekend. Because they were doing all of the right. Hogan
you're
tribute
right. You're
stuff.
Right. You're right. You're right. You're right. I thought it was this weekend. Somebody said before we left last week, they were like, it's this weekend. And we were like, what? It's this weekend? What? No. And I went to go like check it out. And I never got around to it all weekend.
I think it's next weekend or this coming weekend. I mean, I think it's this Saturday and Sunday. I'm very curious to see how the hell they get out of this Cena Cody match.
That's right. I would have definitely saw something about Cena.
Like, I need to see how they get out of this, because Cena beating Cody again, you're clearly going in a different direction if Cody loses again to John Cena. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'll be curious. Now I think they've set up Street Fight rules. The rest of this, I want to see if they give Punk the title. That'd be pretty. But other than that, I
have no idea.
I do want to watch the Netflix show.
Yeah,
though.
That was all over the place.
Yeah,
this morning.
Do want to watch the Netflix
that
show.
That looked pretty cool. At first I was like, I don't know if I want to watch. I don't know if I need to see all, like, I don't want to see all, but it looked pretty
watching dope. Triple H lay out the Cena heel turn, mm-hmm. makes me like, that was a beautiful trailer, because the trailer is designed to get you to watch the show.
Yeah,
that makes me want to see how the rest of this played out.
Yeah, the clips of that look fire. So I'm still not sure if I'm gonna watch SummerSlam. Cardi's gonna be on there, so I'll see what Cardi talking about.
That's right, Cardi is.
Yeah.
Cardi B. I didn't mean for that to go on as long as it did, but
it needed to. Come on, man. We've been talking about wrestling on this show for 5 years since the
and I started. Like I'd watch the I you know they the Raw was last night, of course. SmackDown was Friday, and I didn't see much past the openings and the tributes. And like every time I saw the tribute, it was like, or the 10 bell salute even, it was like, damn, Hogan's gone. Like, that's like Hulk Hogan is gone.
Right.
It's crazy.
That's the truth. I did see, I forgot old boy's name, but Jack Roman for his shoes. That was funny.
I did see that too. Well, I think some astute eyes noticed Roman was nowhere to be found during either of those 10 bell salutes either.
Well, and to your original point, it was quiet on the wrestling front.
Yeah, there were not a lot of, you know, WWE, and we talked about this on Thursday. Or I think it was Thursday, as they should. They should pour their heart and soul into remembering the character that made them what they are. Mm. It's okay if no one else does.
Right.
And again, you don't have to mourn. I mean, some people chose to celebrate, and then some people clearly chose to be quiet. And I'd imagine, be it Hunter or Rock or someone in charge at that organization, said, you don't have to say anything if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of people, it looks like, who chose not to. Mm-hmm. And even when Cody did talk, he cushioned it a lot. He was very, very careful with his words. Mm-hmm. And I thought he handled that as well as he possibly could. Yeah. So
he's trying to be the face of the company. It just doesn't work.
I think he's a lot more of the face of the company than you think he is.
It doesn't work. That's why I'm not watching. The face just ain't, it's don't work.
Their business isn't bad.
My business is booming.
I don't think it's as bad as you think it is. It just doesn't interest us.
Yeah, man.
I don't think we're interested in that version of a babyface anymore.
Him and KO halfway through
91. KO is like not even around. Like, leave Kevin Owens alone. Just make it
happen,
man.
Just halfway through night one, him and KO, man. Make it happen.
He's literally headlining against John Cena, the second biggest pay-per-view. What are you talking about? Where is this show?
New York. That's why Cardi's hosting it, I think.
Oh, it's at the stadium. At MetLife?
Yeah, I think it's at MetLife. I'm sure. I didn't even know it didn't happen yet, so I could be wrong, but I think that's...
Yeah, I don't know why I'm asking you where it's at. You thought it happened 2 days ago. We'll come back. Trista Crick's going to join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. I want to get back to the NBA. I don't want to forget whatever nonsense you were spewing out as commissioner... Commissioner Caraway yesterday.
That's kind of turned up, I ain't gonna lie.
But this is low key a pretty big week in the NBA. If you've been paying attention, there's some interesting things either on our horizon or not. Mm-hmm. We'll explain all of that when Dilo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, it's D'Lo and Commissioner Caraway here. You want to fill me in before we get to the association, because there's a lot in the NBA that we should be paying attention to over the course of the next couple of days. You want to tell me what the hell went on yesterday?
All right. So let me tell the whole story before Jesse says the only half truth around here.
Before Jesse tells the truth. Okay.
No, only half truths. Now, I want to preference this by saying, as man of the people, I love what Bryce Harper did. I love it. I love, you know this.
Got
I
in
love,
the commissioner's face, told him to get the F out of the
dugout. I love Stone Cold Steve Austin, right?
Okay.
That was the basis of Austin and McMahon. I love Stone Cold, so I love that. So, like you said, the report that Rob Manfred was in the Phillies clubhouse talking a little bit. He never used the word salary cap, but he was talking. And Bryce Harper gets in his face. They say they were nose to nose. And he said to Rob Manfred, if you're here to talk about that, get the F out of this clubhouse. And I said, you like what Bryce Harper did?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my redeeming qualities, mm-hmm. is I can put myself in other people's shoes. And I was just giving you the POV of being in Rob Manfred's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
If I was Rob Manfred, I'd say, who do you think you're talking to like that?
Mm.
Have you lost your damn mind? Man, first, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Who do you think? I ain't Rob Manfred no more. I'm not the commissioner no more. I'm a man here. Who do you think you're talking to like that?
Mm-hmm.
You crazy? Just because I'm a jackass, you think you could talk to me that way? Watch your mouth. And then Bryce talks.
You know who this sounds like? Sounds like Buddy Hield when everyone kept getting their jokes off about. But remember when he took the position of Buddy Hield and said, go ahead, Steve Kerr, make another joke about me.
I didn't even think about that.
Buddy was right. Kid, I ain't no damn clown around here.
Buddy Manfred,
watch your mouth,
over here.
Steve Kerr.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was that, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I was reading a story, and Bryce Harper, I don't know if he said it to Manfred at the time, but he had let it be known. He was like, and let it be known, we're ready to sit out 162 if we need to. And I said, once again, if Rob Manfred, how about we make it 2 years since you know so damn tough and you want to talk crazy? And I told Zach Wheeler, as Rob Manfred, I said, Zach,
Get your boy before he messes it up for everybody. Get him before he messes it up for everybody. Because he's talking about, we can go 62 and get the F out of this clubhouse. First of all, this ain't your clubhouse. I'll show you who owns the clubhouse. When there's a damn lock on the door after we lock your ass out for 2 years. Since you want to, who do you think you're talking to? Are you crazy? And then I read today that Rob Manfred was like, I will not get out of the clubhouse.
That's such a lie, by the way. No, you can't be like 2 days after the fact. No, this is what I said. I just would actually. No,
bro. Well, he didn't say it. To be fair, Rob, that wasn't.
We know who put that out, though.
You clown. I will not leave the clubhouse. No wonder he felt so comfortable saying that to you if that was your response.
Essentially, Kenny was also like, don't even go on strike because the owners have all the power, so just bow down.
No,
well,
no,
can
I did
also
say,
point out, Rob Manfred doesn't have the ability to lock anyone out. Rob Manfred's a puppet, just like Roger Goodell is.
He is.
Well, I think Rob
Manfred standing up to the players going, you're going to miss 162. All of a sudden, that Fenway Sports Group is like, I'm sorry, sir, what?
Oh, no. They're like,
your whole ass can be replaced, like. That
no, that he's speaking for them. I said I made the we had the conversation about it stemmed from earlier in the week because we talked about the last week we talked about how and Ponte Hill was on the show and he agreed, we were talking about it and we're like baseball is cooking right now. Baseball is absolutely on fire. I love everything outside of the A's situation. I love everything Major League Baseball is doing. Like this is. They are killing it right now, and it took them a while to get to this point. And there's two things going on. Number one, when he talks about sitting out 162, Bryce Harper talking, we're prepared to sit out 162. Nick Kurtz, who makes $50,000 probably, is like, Bryce, I know you make $400 million. Slow down. We're still in a position where the A's are spending $2 million a year. I'm not making a lot of money, and you're talking about just move on. Stop it, JR. Stop
well, JR it. Says the C on the hat stands for commissioner.
That's
so.
True.
My thing yesterday was that I see everyone, like the strike helps nobody. Well, not that it helps nobody, but it hurts a lot of people or whatever. But to me, a salary cap is all bad for baseball, and if that's what the owners are trying to implement here instead of a salary floor, then, yeah, I think that's something worth going up over strike on.
I think both should be implemented. Definitely the salary floor. You might be able to convince me. Jesse did a good job yesterday. You might be able to convince me you don't necessarily need a cap, but I like the leagues that have the cap because I think it just helps.
I think the floor – I think the idea of a salary
floor has
floor.
To happen.
Yeah,
it has. It's crazy. Floor has to happen.
Looking at what people were saying on Twitter yesterday, and I saw someone say like, "Oh yeah, like why wouldn't the MLB want a salary cap? It'd be like the NFL." I don't think the MLB can necessarily survive the way the NFL can. Like the NFL can put out whatever team for the Super Bowl, and people are gonna tap in. It's just the NFL just markets perfectly. I don't know what it is, but I feel like the MLB needs teams like the Dodgers, the Yankees, and all that. Not necessarily winning the World Series every year, but you need those teams. Like that's good for business if they're good.
I think
if those throwback teams are better.
But I also think you need a level playing field.
But that's where I think if you have the salary floor, because we were looking at the teams yesterday, like the Cincinnati, $150 million was the number we came up with. Like the Cincinnati Reds are like 120, I think. They're five games over 500. So if you bring the floor up and those teams have to spend, like the A's, they have Nick Kurtz, they have Jacob Wilson and all those guys. You add some starting pitching, like you make them spend. The A's are a playoff team this year.
A salary floor and no deferred payments.
Yeah, we definitely got rid of that.
Like, that has to go because that's not just
the deferred payments. I get that.
Yeah. I mean, granted, every team can do it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a team that can't do deferred payments. But the problem is, not all athletes can do it. Mm-hmm. So if someone says, "Hey, here's we want to offer you $750 million, but oh, we can't do it. You got to make $7,000 next year." Mm-hmm. Shohei Ohtani makes like $1 billion in endorsements. Like, not all baseball players. Most baseball players don't have that. And they don't have the ability to defer payments that way.
And
so these loopholes that, I mean, and salute to the Dodgers, that was masterful work.
I think the Giants are doing it with Devers a little bit, too. Or the Red Sox set it up that way with Devers.
It's not, from an athlete standpoint, that's not a level playing field.
Yeah. And here's what I said with the cap. Nick Kurtz becomes a free agent. Let's just go in a perfect world where John Fisher wants to spend. It coincides with when they're going to Vegas. And this is the guy he's going to go to Vegas with. And he wants to spend. I'm going to spend money on him. I'm going to pay him $500 million. If the Dodgers decide that they just, we won't be outbid, they can do that. They can say, we just won't be outbid. There becomes a point when some of these owners, even if they are in the business of spending money, that they just don't have the same money. It's almost like if there was an open market in basketball. Like Vivek will spend money. He can spend money. He makes a lot of money and all this other stuff. If Steve Ballmer wants the player, he's going to outspend you. Like, you can't compete with that. And that's what was one of my thoughts with the salary cap. But when you talk about missing a whole year, I said that they can't do that. Baseball can't miss a whole year.
Yeah.
Took them damn near 30 years to get back to this moment.
Yep. Great point.
I understand the players trying to fight for what they need to, but I also said, like, somebody like Bryce Harper, you're fighting and all this other stuff. To a certain degree, because the stakes are so high, you got to look at this next generation. It's not just about you and the salary cap and all this other stuff. If you are real about what you're saying, like, we'll sit out 162, that's going to destroy it for Aurice Caraway. Like, the money that you're fighting to save, you're about to lose in what you're going to lose in a whole, like, by setting the league back.
Right.
So you're almost cutting off your nose despite your face in that situation. And I think there has to be, it's all negotiation, like Jesse said. Like, you don't want to play your hand right now. You're going to let them know this is how we feel. But internally, hey, guys, we can't.
Baseball's in the best place it's been in a long time. Yeah. Like, there's legitimate stars in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah.
And you can't lose a season. So, like, you can't lose anything.
If you're the players, though, because I truly feel like a salary cap just hurts baseball. Like, I feel like it hurts baseball, helps the owners. Because it's like Kenny brought up the free agent thing.
But it's a lot like it's
the
A's
and like those White Sox, those other teams, like they've never even chosen to spend or anything like
that. It's no different than these aprons. When you talk about it helps the owners from being reckless. Mm. That's what it helps. It's like Jason Jones tells us this all of the time. The collective bargaining agreement, the way that the salary cap is structured, these aprons are structured, the luxury tax is structured, these tax penalties are structured, it's all to stop owners from being idiots.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's like this NBA, like what we saw from the NBA CBA, though, you think that's good for the game, like this offseason, like what we see?
Well, we don't know that this offseason is bad for the game. We know this is something we haven't experienced before. We know that it's a little bit different. We're not going to know the ramifications of this offseason for a while, and it might be a one-off. New TV money kicks in next year. What if the salary cap goes back up 10%? Like, are we having this discussion? Are we having the same discussion 1 year from now?
They might just not know how to maneuver yet with the way things are. Like, kind of caught them off guard. Like, whoa, like, this is the apron? A year or two in, all right, now we know how to structure these contracts, structure our roster, and the money, because the money's still there. Like, it's not money as well. Money did get taken away. Because
not from everybody. Miscalculated. Just from some.
Yeah, but It's still there. Like, you're still making the money.
Nothing makes me want to drink more than talking numbers. And thank God we've got these Baker family wine bottles behind us.
Yes, sir.
Dusty Baker, who just can't stop coaching. He can't stop managing. What is it, Nicaragua?
Come on, Dusty. It's in his blood. It's in his veins.
All right, Skip. He poured his all into making wine. Now he's coaching the Nicaraguan national team. Shout out to our man, Dusty Baker. He is a Hall of Famer in every sense of the word. He's a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, and he is a Hall of Fame winemaker. He's the newest member of the D'Lo and Casey family. You could head over to BakerFamilyWines.com right now to learn all about Dusty's story, to learn about, we have a long row of bottles behind us. Mm-hmm. There's no doubles here. These are all different bottles. These are all different. We got the Pinot Noir Rosé over there.
I had the white wine for my birthday. I had the white joint.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. I noticed the bottle was missing.
This is my birthday. Thanks, Dusty.
This man took it. This man took one of our prop bottles for his birthday.
Yeah, real quick. Deal while you
let this man take it.
I mean,
what are you doing?
I'm not getting paid. Hey, but anyways, yeah, Dame was like, all week while you were out, like, yeah, I'm going to leave the bottles, these are the show bottles and all this, and yeah, Casey took off.
We still got enough to show.
And we do. So you said you took a white one. Boss, shout out Stephen Brown. Which one did it looks like you took the Chardonnay.
It looks like you took
the Chardonnay because that's missing.
Happy birthday to Katie.
I don't know what you wanted to do. We weren't here. He took it.
It's a partnership. I had to test it out, make sure, everything's good.
We did test it out. It's literally the bottle we had.
It tastes a little different, at home.
Yeah, but
in the comfort of your home. Yeah. And it didn't make it through the night.
Understood. Bottles of wine aren't designed. Shout out to those people who cork the bottle and put it away. Like once you open it, drink it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're getting called out here, too, publicly, because the other adult in the house says, so you drink it by yourself, ?
I mean, yeah, just okay. that time. But I knew more bottles were coming, and then we could, okay. yeah. Yeah.
Well, certainly not the Chardonnay, Jazz. Sorry. Sorry to Jasmine and Katie who wanted to enjoy a bottle of Chardonnay. It's gone. Kenny had it on his birthday. Head over to BakerFamilyWines.com. Join Dusty's Clubhouse for exclusive releases and tasting room specials. That tasting room is absolutely spectacular. I think they got trivia nights on Tuesday nights as well. If you're looking for some fun things to do. By the way, we haven't mentioned this. It's in West Sacramento. You don't have to drive to Napa. You don't have to drive to Lodi. You don't have to drive to Amador County. Baker Family Wines is in West Sacramento. Head over to BakerFamilyWines.com. We have no idea what the ramifications are of this collective bargaining agreement and these aprons are. We're still really, really early in this process in the NBA. But we have a very interesting week ahead. I know it feels like things have died down and we're following the weight loss stories and the muscle building stories and all of these different things, but in actuality, this is a big week. This is that six-month marker for guys who were traded at the trade deadline who are due contract extensions, who are eligible for contract extensions. And there's two pretty big names, and there's dilemmas in both scenarios. One of them being the guy who was traded from here. De'Aaron Fox is extension eligible on August 3rd. When De'Aaron was traded, Steph Castle was, you saw it. It's like, oh, there's something there. Mm-hmm. Like, all right. He goes on, and you still, like, I don't know that anything drastically changed between February and the end of the season. Like, it's like, nah, there's something there with this kid, rookie of the year. Like, back-to-back rookies of the years for San Antonio. You feel good about what they got going on. The thing that caused a hiccup in my thinking with De'Aaron Fox was when the Spurs got the number two pick. Then it was like, oh, what do you do now? Do you move forward with what I think you had intended to do to begin with? And that signed De'Aaron Fox to a max contract extension, make him a part of this, what looks to be a very, very good basketball team that you're building, and keep it moving. Or do you hold off on that a little bit? Do you let him play out this final year? Do you explore options for him around the league? Do you potentially sign one of these veteran point guards that are out there to bring him in there and maybe work with these young guys that you have in that backcourt and maybe save that money to be utilized somewhere else? And I've asked myself that question, really, I think, since the draft lottery. And I think I've landed on my answer. Again, De'Aaron is extension eligible in just a couple of days. I think you sign him. I just don't know what you sign him to. Because I feel like you sign him, and I hate myself for this. We've done it a couple of times today. De'Aaron's an asset. You don't lose an asset like De'Aaron Fox. If you, for whatever reason, if you believe Dylan Harper and Castle, if you believe that is your backcourt of the future, mark my words, you don't just let De'Aaron, you don't just lose De'Aaron Fox. And so I don't think you want a situation where you're playing out the final year of the contract. I don't think you put the, like, because if you hit a stalemate and you're just going into February, I think that's a difficult situation for everybody involved. I think it's a difficult situation for De'Aaron, and I think it's a difficult situation for San Antonio. But I really struggled with what exactly is San Antonio going to do here. And I think it was the last week I was on, this happens a lot when you're not here. I just talk myself into stuff. I think I just landed on, you signed De'Aaron to the extension. And you do it, I think, with the intent of him being a part of your future. But if he's not, it's okay, because De'Aaron is really, really good. And I don't think it would be incredibly difficult to find someone who would love to have De'Aaron Fox on their basketball team.
Yeah, I feel like you're not losing anything if you do sign him to the extension. Like you said, if it's not working out, De'Aaron's not a player who's like, oh, he's untradeable. Like, there's plenty of suitors around the league who's like, yeah, we can use a De'Aaron Fox. With the Spurs, it's a matter of, all right, we got all these young pieces and De'Aaron Fox, who works best here with Wemby? You figure that out. Once you do, it's maybe trading Fox or Castle or whoever at that point. Yeah.
So my first thought process went to not signing him. Not signing again, not giving him the extension. Because I just didn't want to. I got other players. You know, I got Castle. I got Harper. I don't need to tie up my cap space with De'Aaron Fox. But then I thought about it a little bit more. And I said, well, you can just sign him. You can sign him to the extension. But I would make the years coincide with when Stephon Castle's getting his deal. And I don't know if they have two different, they're weighted different with the salary cap or anything, because
they would be
Castle's guy you drafted or whatever.
It would be Castle's second contract, not his third. This is De'Aaron's third.
Right. So I think that would be three years from now, as Castle would be up for, he'd be up for an extension. So when his money would kick in, in the fourth year. So I'd sign De'Aaron probably to a 4-year deal. And you know, I'd give him good money. As like I said,
well, wait, I'll a sign minute. Him. Wait, you give him good money or you give him max money?
I don't think I'm giving him max money.
I'll trade a boys if you give him the max.
That's the other thing I was thinking about. Like I want to give him good money where he's respected. But
the whole,
but not money where it'd be tough to trade him if I needed to.
But the whole, get like if I'm getting out of Sacramento, I'm getting out of Sacramento. It was for this moment, right here.
And times have changed. Yeah, times have changed, and this is where we kind of talked about it earlier with Chicago and Josh Giddey. If you're San Antonio, do you just do this because? Yeah, this was kind of the understanding. This is what we're going to do, and we still want to do right by him, and more importantly, maybe by Rich Paul in that situation, and you pay him? Or do you, like, you just say, hey, man, it's a different time, different climate. We got the second pick. We're not necessarily willing to do that no more. We're still going to take care of you, but the money that you thought you were going to get from us and the length of the contract that you thought you were going to get from us, we're not necessarily looking to do that right now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, too. It feels like teams now aren't giving you a max unless they're truly bought into you, like being a part of their future.
Yeah, for a team that's going to have, like San Antonio is going to have to do some Oklahoma City level gymnastics with their structure, their cap, with their salary structure for Wemby and so on. Like, yeah, you want him to be a guy.
Because if I'm a team like in the NBA, like trying to trade for Fox with the Spurs and all that, like if I don't necessarily think Fox is going to be the best player on my team, like why am I trading for a guy getting the max or getting that massive contract?
I'm doing, and this may, you guys tell me what this sounds like and what it looks like. I'm doing the Brandon Ingram deal. Brandon Ingram signed 3-year, 120.
40 feels low.
It does. It does feel low. But I'm in a position where if I'm San Antonio, I don't have to do
that. You're San Antonio then, and I'm Rich Paul. This is not what we came for.
I understand, Rich. I understand. What do you guys want to do? You guys want to move on?
I feel like you can't do that if you're the Spurs. You got to meet in the middle here.
No, we can, but
I think Jesse's right, but to answer your question, is Cos playing Rich Paul? The answer is yes. Like, unless the answer, you know, De'Aaron, what's more important to you, playing in San Antonio or that contract? Because if it's the contract, I'm going to need you to hold on, because I got some calls to make. because I don't know who has that money out there. Now, this is a trade situation. This isn't a free agency situation. This is a trade, but this is also a situation where San Antonio is approaching it the same way with returnable pieces that they are De'Aaron. I can't do anything that puts really, it all boils down to this. I can't do anything that puts Wemby's basketball and financial future at jeopardy.
Jamal Murray is going to be starting the first year of a four-year, $208 million contract. Can we do that?
It's about waste of money.
46 no. per.
It's no. a waste of money.
I know you don't like Jamal, but we're talking about for De'Aaron Fox.
No, we can't do that, De'Aaron. I can give.
Let me ask you this. Is Jamal tradable?
I think so.
Oh, well, then do it. You could do that.
I think so.
If Jamal Murray with what Jesse just said is tradable, you could do that for De'Aaron Fox. Absolutely.
Hey, we just got a deal done. Shout out.
You can absolutely do that.
You got a deal done with yourself. So I'm the San Antonio Spurs.
You just said, like, I thought we were good.
I didn't say that. He said that. I said I'll give you 4 years and one.
Am I talking to Monty and West? Who am I dealing with here?
175.
That's insane.
I gave you another year.
4175 is insane.
I gave you another year.
No.
Okay. Okay.
475 is insane.
All right, dear.
Or 175.
Okay. You said no. Okay. Hell, you facilitate the trade. We'll just let you know. Because the other thing about this with San Antonio is they're not as invested because they didn't give a lot up to get you.
You mean nothing. They gave up nothing.
Right.
The San Antonio Spurs are the first team in history to acquire a player the level of De'Aaron Fox's magnitude and not actually trade anything.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm dead, like it's look. I even went here. Lotus Prime. Maybe we can even do that.
They didn't even get that goddamn pick swap back.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
4-4-190.
Like, do you think they even asked for it?
No.
Do you think Monty at any point said, "Hey, player"?
Monty didn't do.
Who's asking? Yeah, who's doing the asking?
That's a good
here.
Question.
Monty was asking. Vivek wasn't on the phone with the Spurs general manager. Monty was asking. He didn't do nothing.
Well, who was pulling the strings then?
My belief of this, and you may know a little more. Vivek said, I don't care what you do. I just don't
get Zach Levine. Yeah, yeah.
I don't care what you do.
Yep.
Just make sure he's part of the deal.
Yep.
This deal still has to be executed.
Yep.
And this guy did nothing.
And at no point did anyone say, I want my pick swap back.
No, the guy didn't do anything.
Would have been the easiest thing in the world.
I don't know. That feels like that's on the owner as well to me. But
he definitely bears responsibility.
Do you look at De'Aaron funny if he signs 4-190?
I don't. No, I think that's and especially you mentioned it. We're in a different climate too. You know, like, and Jesse said it.
Well,
if you're a franchise.
Some guys are supposed to be climate proof.
Jamal Murray got that deal in this climate, is what I'm saying.
What I'm saying.
He got in what climate? When did he get? When did he sign the deal?
I don't care when he signed it.
That's what he's starting right now.
Not that can't be
he
the
signed
case.
It, what, two, well, he signed, I think he signed it 2 years ago.
But that can't be the case because if Josh Giddey was a restricted free agent 2 years ago, his deal would look different.
No, I got you.
It's a different time.
But what I'm saying is, like, Fox and Murray are comparable
for sure. But
that's if I'm rich. That's like. How are you going to offer me? What was it? Would you say 50, 60,000 less?
Fox and Murray.
Than Jamal Murray?
Fox and Murray are absolutely comparable. Denver and San Antonio are not. We're in completely different situations. Denver, you don't have the rookie of the year or all rookie player. You don't have the number two pick who's also a point guard. You didn't really have no other options. That's why
you have a guy
sure.
who really loves his horse, though.
He loves that horse. All his
Jamal
horses.
Murray signed his deal September of last year.
It's a different climate.
Well,
and we're
Jamal
in different
Murray
situations.
That deal signed.
There ain't no Harper or White on the roster.
Well, and that's the thing. If like, are you? Is there? And that's my biggest question. Is there an in between? Are you all in or all out with De'Aaron Fox? And I don't know that we'll know the answer on August 3rd, but I think we'll get a pretty damn good indication on August 3rd. We might have the answer.
If I'm the Spurs, I'm probably working a little bit harder to get this done for the sake of I don't want to lose an asset if I don't have to.
That's the number one thing. You don't want to lose him, but they have to ask the question that you asked too.
Don't overplay your hand here.
Is he still tradable? If that's the direction we go, if we sign him to what, like what number do teams start to go, nah, dog. We'll come back, man. Trista Crick at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. It is D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. You wanna get a deep cut? We can talk about why you were sleeping. This is a joke from during the commercial break. My boy won the home run derby.
That's your boy.
My boy.
You know what I mean, when you getting that Griffey throwback, you know what I mean? Coming to with the Griffey throwback.
Big Dumper is a crazy nickname.
Oh man. I didn't even,
that's kind of wild.
I didn't even realize that.
That's kind of wild.
Like a week or two ago, I was like,
yeah.
All right, man. Just call me Cal, bro.
Just call me Cal, bro.
The Big Dumper. All right.
Nah, we're good. We don't need to do that.
What do they call you? The Big Dumper?
Nah, Cal's cool. Cal is cool.
Cal is probably already a nickname. It's already short for something. Just call me Cal, bro. It's good.
It's good.
That was crazy.
Oh, Cal. Yeah, that's wild.
I had a while you were gone, well, before Trista comes here, I had a Keegan Murray discussion that went left, of course, because people just don't listen to me. Me and Cam Newton, they don't listen to what we say. They just act off emotion. That's another. Where do you want to go? Do you want to go Keegan Murray or do you want to go Lazy getting mad?
Oh man. All right.
We got it forever. Hang on. To talk
I need to. I need to know why Lizzie got mad.
He was we mad. Got forever like, he was to like, talk yeah.
And he so he was here.
Yes, he was sitting here by the wall.
And it was like just a regular
smoke coming out of his ears, everything.
It was a regular like discussion we were having because I don't know if you caught during the week, people were going back and forth with Cam Newton because Cam Newton said Jalen Hurts isn't a top 10 quarterback. And, you know, they were getting upset with, like, Ryan Clark and Stephen A. and Dan Orlovsky. They were getting upset with Cam for saying that. Like, how could you say that or whatever? Mm-hmm. Cam goes back on his platform and kind of breaks down, like, what it is. And he even gets to the point where he's like, I've told Jalen this. I will tell you guys. It's not – I don't think he has the ability. His whole thing was he doesn't have to play great. Jalen Hurts doesn't have to play great for the Eagles to be successful. And that's what happened last year. Like, we saw that. Jalen Hurts wasn't great. They won a Super Bowl. And he said, when you compare that to Lamar's, Mahomes, I think Burrow was in there. He had the whole list. But, you know, those guys have to be great. They have to play on a certain level. Josh Allen, for their teams to win. Jalen doesn't. So he was kind of breaking it down. He had numbers, all this other stuff. And Lizzie was just like, no, Cam Newton is stupid. He's stupid. And fine. Guy just won a Super Bowl. Fine. Just say he sucks then. Just whatever.
That's not what anyone said.
That's not what he said. Look, he's had to deal with this forever. I remember when he was drafted. Oh, we got Carson Wentz. Why would we get you? We're like, who said it?
Yeah, he brought up Carson Wentz at the end right before we went to break. We were like, bro, who brought? No, exactly. And then I was like, who brought up Carson Wentz? And he attacks me. He's like, oh, so you think Carson Wentz is better?
Oh, I'm like, going to need to see this. I'm going to have to go back and watch this. This is Friday or Monday?
Friday. Friday, probably about 3:05 around there. Right.
How much was Lizzy here last week?
Oh, he was here damn near the whole week.
Oh,
he
was Jesus here, Christ.
He was here on Tuesday, I think it was.
Tuesday?
I think it was Tuesday because they had a sound stage.
Lizzy should be popping up sometimes.
Yeah, and then Friday he was here. Friday, Lizzy got here when I got here. It was just hanging out. But Lizzie was hot.
Jesse, I was going to take some time off in August. I won't. Just forget it. I won't.
Lizzie, I'm walking it's from my fine. Car. KC, what up, man? What are you doing here? Walking in. There you go. Lizzie, Jay. Is constantly disrespected for no reason! Exclamation mark.
See, nobody was disrespecting him, though. We were just asking him who he was better than. Lizzie tried to invoke Lamar Jackson's name.
Oh, yeah, he did try to say Lamar. It's like, this is two different stratospheres. And one of the stats, I don't know if you saw the clip, but one of the things that Cam was talking about was like, I forgot the exact number. I want to say it was like 2950 was the yardage that Hurts threw for. And Tua threw for 36 less yards in like seven less games played. It was something ridiculous.
I think Tua might have had more yards.
More yards?
Let me double check that.
I thought he said 36 less. Like he was 36 short of Jalen Hurts in like, and Tua played 11
games.
Okay,
yeah, it was 36 less.
in 11 games.
One more touchdown, though, for Tua. We got to Baker Mayfield.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. The best part is we're going over everyone's stats, and Jalen Hurts didn't even break 3,000 yards, bro.
Baker Mayfield,
4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns.
I think Baker was on the list, and I was like, yo, even though, like, I'm not, like, the biggest Baker fan, I can't deny it. Dude was balling out. He's been balling out the last 2 years. Like, I got to salute that. I'm not a Baker fan, but I got to salute that. Mm-hmm. And Leezy's like, Baker Mayfield? What? How many championships he got? The guy threw for – he led the league in touchdowns. What are we
doing? Hey, cherry on top. How you knew he was mad. Casey's talking or whatever, and Casey goes, what the hell? Michigan Wolverines got banned. What? Yes. What? Yes.
And Leezy was unapologetic. He was like, well.
I thought I banned him for 5 minutes. Hey, it got hot in Studio 2 on Friday.
That was classic. I said, Leezy, hey, man, stop. Man, stop. Stop. You can't do that. He's like, well, I'm just saying. They want to throw heat, and when somebody throws heat back, that's what – I said, no, it's just stop.
I hear banning P1s.
Leezy.
Oh, man.
My brother. Your comfort level is a smidge bit too high. I can't lie. I pulled up Friday's show for all of the wrong reasons. So, Leezy just spent the whole goddamn day here on Friday.
He was hanging out, man. He was hanging out. And then when I had to do some interviews, that's when he would step out. But then, you know, I told him, though. I was like, because it was after Eddie. I was like, yo, I'm gonna rock with the interview with Eddie. I'm gonna talk to him. And then he left, and he's like, well, what you want me to do? I said, man, come on back through, man. Come on through. And when Bonte comes back on, slide back out. But yeah, he was out here. He was cooking. His highlight was the Jalen Hurts. He was like the typical rookie Leezy, where he was just not trying to step on no toes. We talked about Jalen Hurts. Oh man, he wasn't playing. He wasn't playing.
All right, it's a lot. That's a lot.
Shout out Leezy, man. He be riding for Jalen Hurts. When he brought up Carson Wentz, I said, come on, man.
No, I'm sorry. There's so much that I'm stuck on. Him arriving at noon and then blocking Michigan Wolverines in the process is... I'm just having a tough time.
That was crazy, too. I saw the little notification. I said, Leezy, hold on, man. Come on, man.
That's Chatty House on Chatty House Crime.
Come on. He called that on
Did
Friday.
Did we get Michigan
yeah,
out?
He's back. He's yeah, okay. We got him. Yeah,
he's back. Leezy started. He called Stephen Brown Stephen Clown. That was funny. Said Stephen Clown. I said, come on, man. Don't be calling him that.
Am I really the only adult here? Is that what this boils down to? Okay.
Well, yeah. And then yesterday we decided. Tristy Rodriguez, NBC Sports Bay Area, she will have a dating show on ESPN 13 TV.
Yeah, why do you hate out. The 20?
I didn't say 20.
No, oh, man.
13,
that's 20. The main reason we need to change to ESPN Sacramento is because this man refused to say ESPN 1320.
ESPN 1320 TV, dating show with Tristy Rodriguez.
Sarah had a very unfortunate mishap on her IG story yesterday.
Oh, no. I don't think I saw it.
She clearly intended to tag the show.
Oh, no, I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who did she tag?
She tagged me. So it was a Sarah Hodges, I had just worked out mirror selfie with the very unfortunate caption, up next at D-Lo on the radio.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
And it was like, I was like, oh, Sarah tagged me. So I was like, she's on the show. Like, I wonder why she tagged me. And I looked at it. I was like,
I don't think this is for me.
Well, all right. Okay.